Well, working toward wrapping this session up, Wayne Ebelar with Mississippi State University, the value of rotations. Lessons learned from the first 12 years of the Mississippi Centennial Rotation. And here's your slides.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. We do have some diehards. Fantastic. I'm glad to be here this morning to talk to you about the work that we've had going on in crop rotations. It's very difficult in most areas to get much funding to do crop rotation work, so some of this has been bootlegged and various other methods for getting it there. But I would like to recognize Dr. Larry Faulkner, who is the ag economist located at Stoneville, that helped me with putting some of the economics that you'll see at the very end of this presentation. Now, I've worked on a lot of crops over the years. I came out of the Midwest to Mississippi to work on cotton and rice, and I've never seen either one of those two crops before. So I've learned a lot in my 35 years at Stoneville. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the initial crop rotation work that I did that was kind of the basis for the centennial rotation, and then I will talk to you about the centennial rotation itself. The original work was actually supported in part through efforts of the Mississippi Cotton Incorporated State Support Program, and we greatly appreciate that. I will point out at this time that my goal in that project was to bootleg some corn research in there, and one of the ways to do that was actually to put a corn-cotton rotation in there, so that's what I did. In the initial study here, we were looking at various N rates and potassium rates for corn and cotton grown in rotation systems, and we did this for several years. Now, we had two different locations for the study, one at the Delta Station on a bosque of very fine sandy loam, the other was at the Trivet Satellite Farm, which is a heavier textured soil. And each year we had blocks that were set up for either corn, cotton behind cotton, or cotton behind corn. This just gives you a visual of that. In the initial year, we, of course, did not have any cotton following corn because corn had not been initiated. The field that we went into for this study, no one ever remembered anything being grown in that field for 100 years but cotton. So this is what the field looks like. This is a 2003 photo, and you see the three distinct regions in the field. You've got a corn area, a cotton following cotton, and a cotton following corn. Now, the only difference between these areas is the rotation. And if you look at the difference in yield here, the cotton following cotton, the yield for that year was 1,187 pounds. For the cotton following corn, was 1,400 pounds. This translates to what I call the rotation effect, because this is actually the mean of five replications, five N rates, and four potash rates. So you had 100 numbers going into each one of these yields. So it was a lot of variability out there due to treatments, but this is the overall average, and all area was treated exactly the same. So this rotation effect amounted to at least a half a bale of cotton. Now, getting some into the results, this is what the actual individual year results looked like at Stoneville. This is from 2000 to 2011. This shows you the average response in each one of those years. The numbers that are in green are positive yield response or rotation effect, but you also see you've got a couple of negative numbers in there. Once you start the crop, when you plant it, your decision's made as to what that crop's going to be. Now, not always does Mother Nature agree with your crop selection, and she may have some input into what the actual results are going to be. So we do have a couple of years, but overall, this is across the 11 years. We have an average rotation response here of 139 pounds, or about a 17% increase in yield. Now, if we do the same thing for Trivet, the yields are going to vary a little bit. This is an irrigated area. But the yields in this case, you see a few negative numbers in there, but most of them are either going to be zero or a positive response, and sometimes as much as a 50% yield increase. At this location, the yield response is not as great, but it still is averaging 90 pounds of lint per acre per year across the entire duration. This one is from 2000 to 2013. So you've got a total of both areas ranging from about 9% to 17% yield advantage to the crop rotation. Now, some of the factors that go into play here, the one that really is most significant for us is this rainfall total and rainfall distribution. Now, there are other things that can go into come into play here with solar radiation, humidity, and air. But the thing that we see the biggest differences coming from is from that rainfall total and distribution. Now, what I wanted to do is just show you, this is that same information you saw, 139 pounds per acre, but I'm going to pick out this first negative, this 8.1% yield decrease, and show you what the rainfall distribution looks like for there. Now, you see, and I've summarized it just from the growing season, from April through September, we had a beautiful crop going in to early June, but then when you end up with 12.45 inches of rainfall in June, if you've got a really good growing cotton crop, you got a problem. And with the crop rotation, we tend to get a better rooting system. We tend to get bigger plants. But if it starts raining, you get less air movement, and we got a lot more bole rot. So in this situation, we actually decreased yields. Now, if we take a look, this is Trivet. Take the same situation as 2006, where we've got a 50% increase in yield. Now look at rainfall distribution here. From April through September, we got a total of 10 inches of rain. So the drier that system is, you look at June and July, August, we got very little rainfall at all. Now this is irrigated, at least somewhat irrigated, maybe not the most efficient, but you'll see there that the difference between the rotational systems gave us a huge increase in yield, a 50% increase in yield that one year. Now again, we can't know when we plant this crop in May what it's going to be like later. So, but I'm going to shift gears now, because now I'm going to talk a little bit about the centennial rotation. This was established in 2004, which is the centennial anniversary of the Delta Research and Extension Center at Stoneville that opened in 1904. And I had been involved with long-term rotations before. I actually worked in the Morrill plots at the University of Illinois back in the 70s. My advisor was in charge of the Morrill plots, so I'm one of these people that's actually walked in the Morrill plots without the FBI wanting to know why you're out here in this federal monument. So, but I was involved with that. I've been friends with Charlie Mitchell at Auburn for years. Charlie's talked a lot about the old rotation. Well, I decided Mississippi ought to come into play here. Well, one of the things that I found limiting in most of the long-term rotation work is that it's limited into replications across time. So one of the things I wanted to be able to do was to actually be able to get to use the data early and quickly. So what I did was to actually put in replications, and not only replications, but these are 8-row plots that are divided into 4 subplots. So for every system, I have 4 determinations and 4 replications. So for any number that I have, I actually have 16 observations going into that, which makes this data usable much more rapidly. Now, this is the setup of the whole entire area. The other thing that a lot of the rotations around the country don't include is all the crops growing each year. If you're in a corn-soybean rotation or a corn-cotton rotation, the price and the yield is specific for that year. So that I took that into consideration in designing this study. So if you'll look, this is a corn-cotton rotation. Well, the first year I have a set of plots that's cotton and a set of plots that's corn, and they rotate going through the system. So every year in the rotation pattern, I have corn following cotton and cotton following corn. Now, the same thing is true in the next system. This is a 3-year rotation where I have 1 year corn followed by 2 years of cotton, and this matches what I was doing in the first study I talked about, where I have 1 year corn, 2 years of cotton. The other thing, now this was in 2004, this is a cotton-based rotation system. And at the time this study was initiated in 2004, cotton was still king in Mississippi. We were growing, you know, 1.1, 1.2 million acres of cotton. But coming out of the Midwest and growing up in corn and soybeans, for some strange reason in the background, I decided to include a corn-soybean rotation. This was a common rotation across the Midwest, some areas in the Mid-South back in 2000. But I did put it in there. Now today, you know, there's a lot of information coming from this because I had it in there. So I was fortunate in adding it. The next system, I've taken the combination of corn, soybeans, and cotton. The literature says there's a good response of corn following soybeans. And there's a good response for cotton following corn, so I put those in a row. I've got soybeans followed by corn followed by cotton, and it rotates back again. So I've got that system with all three crops. And then the last one, again being a cotton-based system, I've taken that same system, that soybean, corn, cotton system, and added that second year of cotton in there. So we're growing at least 50% cotton in that situation. So this is the sequence. And now I've got the line that you see here, right here. This is where the cycle starts over, starts over, starts over. So after 12 years, everything is back to where it started 12 years ago. The continuous cotton has been grown 12 years. The corn-cotton rotation has gone through six cycles. The corn-soybean rotation has gone through six cycles. The corn-cotton-cotton has gone through four. The soybean-corn-cotton-cotton has gone through three cycles. So everything is back to where we started. So we've got a lot of information. Now, this is what the field looks like at Stoneville. This is a soil map from Webb Soil Survey, and this shows how the field sets up in there. This is what the plots, well, we've already talked about this, but they're eight-row plots on a 40-inch spacing. The whole area is 215 feet. We divide that into 100-foot plots so I can harvest it. It's a randomized complete design with four reps, but it also has four determinations in there. We're growing under conventional tillage right now. We're growing single-row cotton, single-row corn, and twin-row soybeans, taking advantage of what technology is current today. And that was one of the things behind this rotation when we started. And we harvest the center two rows of each one of those areas. So this is what it looked like in 2013. You see how it sets up? If you look, right, for example, one right here, this area is eight rows wide, 100 feet long, and so is this area right here. This one stays in continuous cotton. It's set up with RTK, so nothing moves around in this field. It's irrigated. This is rep one crossed here, rep two on this side, rep three, and rep four. So this is the way it sets up. Now, I don't expect you to be able to read this because I'm going to summarize most of it. This is the actual yields for the system for all 12 years. And depending on what year it is, and this is a little bit difficult to see here because I didn't color-code it, but if the first, across the top, it's fairly simple, those are cotton yields, and they have ranged from a low of about 718 pounds up to 1,450 pounds. That 1,450 pounds in 2013 was probably a record for this field. But what's interesting, if you go down and look, go down right below that, a couple of rows, right there. Okay, cotton following corn the same year, 1,950 pounds, 500 pound difference in yield right there. And the only difference is cotton following corn versus cotton following cotton. So a one bale difference in yield. Even with extremely high yields on the continuous cotton with corn, it was even higher. So this shows you, this is a comparison of the corn following cotton, cotton following corn compared to continuous cotton. And almost every year you're going to see in here anywhere from 8-9% up to 35%, the high was in here is 34.5. But this on the average is 222 pounds per acre per year. Now we showed you earlier that we were at about 140 pounds on that other study, so we're doing even better in this field. We have a little bit better control of irrigation in this particular field. But the other thing I wanted to show you, this is an actual comparison of corn following cotton versus corn following soybeans. And in this case, that average difference is about 12.7 bushel of corn following soybeans compared to following corn. Now, you know, I've been in this business for 35 years, but I can still screw up. And if you look at 2011, that's my screw-up year. I did not get the first irrigation on the corn in time. We were kind of getting this whole field ready, and I just missed the first irrigation. I never made it up. Corn yields were from 60 to 110 pounds, 110 bushels an acre. And this is 200-plus bushel corn ground. So I'm like everybody else. I can screw up. So taking a look, one of the things that we wanted to do here, and that's where Larry comes in, is to look at some of the value of the crops that we've looked at. So This table shows you the actual cotton prices, the loan rate for cotton, the corn price, the loan rate for corn, the soybean prices. Now, this is the average marketing year price. And so we use these numbers along with yield. If the loan rate was higher, then I calculated the value of the crop based on the loan rate. Now, in a couple of situations, that became significant, especially the first couple of years. But if you'll notice, in the early years, the cotton price was 41 cents. Now, this is average marketing year where the loan rate was 50 cents, 52 cents. So corn prices were $2.22, soybean price at $5.92. And then just look what it was just a few years ago. Cotton never reached a dollar on the average, but it was close. Corn, the average price across the area was $6.94, and soybean reached $14.50. Now, needless to say, we're not there anymore, but taking that into consideration, okay, in 2012, for example, let's take 2012, we had an average corn price of $6.94. On 200 bushel corn, that's pretty decent value. You take 1,000 or 1,200 pounds of lint at 60 cents or 76 cents here in that case, you know, the value of that crop depends on the price. So I've gone through now and done the calculations, and this, again, I don't expect you to read all of this, but you can see some years. Now, this is the crop value. This is the first 6 years of the study. You've got the first 6 years where commodity corn and soybean prices were relatively low. So the value of the cotton crop, and the cotton crop is in black, the soybean crop's in green, and the corn crop is in red. That kind of helps you there. Now let's go to the next set of years. This is the last 6 years where those corn and grain prices have been really, really high. You start looking in this situation. Let's go to 2013, 2012. Here's 2012. This is corn. The value of the crop alone that year was almost $1,700, where cotton grown the same year, in the same year, that, well, yeah, was $819. Low price for cotton, high grain prices, tremendous difference in just the value of the crop. Now, our next process in this is going to be to look at the actual cost of production. In our area, it's almost a known fact that it costs you more to grow cotton than it does to grow corn than it does to grow soybeans. So this is just using that data alone in the value of the crop. Now, this is using that same thing, and it's based either on the price or the loan rate. This is the commodities and the value of those commodities over that 12-year period. Now, the reason I put this in here is because I wanted you to see, for example, in this first, the cotton-corn rotation system, depending, that's the same number of corn crops, the same number of cotton crops, and yet you see a big difference between those two bars in terms of the value of that crop. Well, that depends on what you were growing that year. If this was your cotton year to be growing cotton, and all of a sudden the corn price goes up $3 a bushel, which it did, then you can see a tremendous difference between those and yield. So on the average, that system, the cotton corn system, on the average, has brought in $9,774. That's total for the 12-year period. Whereas the continuous cotton has brought in $8,266. But we know it cost us a lot more there to produce it. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention so that you can see kind of where what we're looking at. You know, we showed from that first study that we were averaging 8 to 17% increase in yield by growing the crop rotation. So that rotation effect, no matter what else is going on, you know, we're able to increase cotton yields anywhere from 8 to, and in the second study, 22%, just by putting it in a rotation with another crop. Not taking into consideration any cost of production or anything, we're getting that much difference. But now we have to realize that there is a possibility for the negative impact of the rotation, but we can't predict that in advance. If we could, we wouldn't be in this business. We'd be in a different business if we could predict what Mother Nature was going to be. So that 22%, 222 pounds, that's almost a half a bale of cotton a year advantage to growing cotton behind corn. And that's averaged over a 12-year period. Corn following soybeans versus corn following cotton. Again, that's about a 6.5% increase. So, you know, in general, you know, the cost is going to come into play. The cost of production, which varies from year to year depending on the cost. You know, when fertilizer went to $1,100 or P&K went to $1,100 a ton, you know, that's a huge impact on what the cost of production would be for that particular year. You know, we want to make sure that what we do impacts the environment positively. And we know with crop rotation that that's a positive impact on there. I mean, it's common knowledge. I haven't talked anything at all about nutrient removal or anything about that. You know, that can come into play also. And I've talked about this in some other places about, you know, we've got questions about, well, if you grow corn, can we take the crop residue off and sell it for bioenergy, for example? That's going to put into the cost of the nutrients. So there's a lot of things that come into play there. So, but the key to the whole situation is know what our soil test levels are. You know, we're looking, we're monitoring soil. We take soil tests every year. This year, at the end of 12, we actually went in and we sampled every subplot within the entire study, 240. And we're going to be making some fertilizer adjustments. This field, in 12 years, has not had phosphorus applied to it. It's had potassium applied a couple of times, but no phosphorus. We were at that high level of phosphorus. You know, 2,000 pounds of lint and no P or K applications that year. You know, if the soil test level is there, then we're okay. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions if we have time, Bill.
Yeah, you're our last speaker. So
the only thing between me and that room over there is any questions.
As long as you're still sitting here and want to ask you a question, we're going.
Okay, great.